Okay, welcome to the Aging Well Together show. I am so excited for us all to be together. And it is March, which is a special time because March is Social Work Month. Super excited to, I always overuse the word excited, but I am very honored to take the show time to celebrate and honor and highlight the important role of social workers and the role that social workers can play in the aging journey. I am thrilled that we have an amazing panel here. We have Kendall McMillan and Hannah Broom and Clayton Foster, part of the social work team and the aging transitions team with Orange County Department on Aging. I am not a social worker. People often think I am, but I joke around and say I said I don't listen that well there. I don't put down my own discipline, which is public health. But I'm super excited to be with my amazing colleagues who are social workers to dive in to Social Work Month and social work and aging. I am super excited for all we'll learn together. But before we dive into our show, as always, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. You can catch our show every Thursday from 2 to 3 on 103.5 FM or stream us live through WCOMFM.org. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderful team that I am looking at right now, as well as others at the Orange County Department on Aging. Besides being the wonderful sponsors for our show and expert guests on our show today and many times, this is our 74th show. Marilyn, your wonderful colleague, each week posts all of our previous shows on Orange County's website. So if you want to catch up on any of our past shows or find a range of local Orange County aging resources, go to Orange County Department on Aging's website. Which is, and I always take a pause so people can get their pencils and paper out. It is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. Orangecountync.gov/aging. I always make a big deal on the NC, or they're going to end up in Orange County, California. And so check out the website. There's lots of amazing resources. And if you have questions about any of these resources, you can also feel free to call the Orange County Department on Aging, and their number is 919-968-968. 2070. I do the main number. I'm looking at our panelists, but feel free to do a shout out for the aging helpline. I know they were probably already thinking that, but I like to do the main number so that way any kind of question can be answered. 919-968-2070. And if you have any questions for me about our shows, or you want to suggest a show topic, or a person, or an organization, please feel free to email me at all one long word, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And we are doing kind of a special show today. As we speak, our wonderful studio, where we've been in Carrboro by Amante's Pizza and the old art center, is being taken down so we can move to our new studio at the Drakeford Library. Super excited about that, I think. Though I'm going to miss you, Amante's Pizza. I loved being right next to them. And so I'm hoping when this plays, you heard a little bit of the Robert Bradford Quartet in the beginning of our show. They are a wonderful Carrboro-based band. They let us use their opening, their original music for our opening. And at the end of the show, if all goes well with our technical expertise for this special show, you should be hearing them at the end. Who you are not going to hear today, I'm super sad because we're not in the studio. We're Zooming it today. My fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed, who is one of the extraordinary wellness instructors with the Orange County Department on Aging. She's a dedicated community volunteer. She is host of the show that comes right after us, Afternoon Talk with Alicia. We miss you terribly, Alicia. So if you're listening to us, we miss you. And as for me, I am Heather Altman. I've spent 25 years working in aging services. I actually was talking to a group last night. The math is actually 28 8 years here in the Orange County area, because if I do the math right, I came down in 1997 to do UNC School of Public Health. Again, not a social worker. So I've been in our community for 28 years. I love working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community, similar but different to our panelists today. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 54, I'm focusing on my own changing needs. So I'm super invested and how we are all aging well together. Okay, I need to take a breath, and clearly I am looking at all of you and I want to stop talking because I really want to turn it over to our guests. I am so excited to have part of the Aging Transitions team here, three of the social workers. Are you all the social workers or is there another one?
We have one who is not with us today. Keisha Andrews is our other social worker. She's our shared social services and Department on Aging social worker.
Oh, I love that. Listeners, I don't know if you caught that, but this is something that, again, being in this community for 28 years, I remember when it was just a dream to co-locate a social worker between the Department of Social Services and the Department on Aging. And so I love that. So Keisha, as you said, sorry, we are missing you, but we do have Kendall McMillan, who is the administrator. I actually didn't look up your title. I should have, because we're doing it on Zoom. She's the head of the Aging Transition team, the chief social worker, but she has her wonderful colleagues who are relatively new, kind of. So we're going to hear about their journey, not new to social work, but new to the Orange County Department on Aging, I think. We'll learn about it. Clayton Foster and Hannah Broom. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. We're excited to be
Absolutely.
here.
Excited to have you all here. And as Kendall knows, this is her fourth time on the show. This is Hannah and Clayton's first time. We like to start our show just getting to know you. And because it's social work, it's just called Social Work Month, frankly. And I even looked this up. That I did look up again. I feel it should be Social Work Appreciation Month or Social Work Awareness Month. But anyway, since it is Social Work Month, tell if you can, we can go around and just tell a little bit about your background, where you're from, but also what motivated you to get into such a helping profession. Who should I? Should I do Kendall first because you're used to this, or
I can go. Yes.
okay.
So I'll make everyone hear my spiel for the fourth time, but this will be a little different, I guess, because we'll go social work specific. So I'm Kendall McMillan. I'm with the Orange County Department on Aging. So I've been with the Orange County Department on Aging for coming up on 5 years this summer. And how I found social work specifically, I think I knew. Well, probably as young as high school, going into college, I knew I'd do some type of psychology-esque major. And when I was at Elon University, they had a major, human service studies, which I really love. And I wish social work had a fun little tagline like this. But the human services department was called the art and science of helping, and
Oh,
that just
I love that.
really clicked with me. So I was there for a little bit, for 4 years. And as I was getting, ready to graduate, I was thinking about my next steps. And I was interning at the time, with a fabulous organization that is still doing wonderful work in our neighboring county, the Family Abuse Services of Alamance County, doing a lot of focus work on domestic violence. And my supervisor at the time was a social worker. And so I was with them for a couple of years. So I spent time learning about her journey, and kind of did some research into different graduate programs. And what I loved about social work was just how broad it could be. There's clinical social work, where you can be a clinical therapist working one-on-one with people, all the way up to we have legislators in North Carolina who are social workers doing very high-level policy work. So I knew it would give me a lot of flexibility and a lot of options, particularly at the time I was in domestic violence, and I knew that would be a high burnout population to work with. So I wanted something that would give me options if that was not the path I wanted to continue, but also knowing I could always go back, and the skills are really transferable among a lot of different populations and settings.
Oh, I love that. And remind me, I would like to geek out with you in a little while. Each of you, I was thinking about a question about the art and science of helping. So I need to make a note so I bring it back. But I love the description. And I talk about that about my public health journey as well, that it is such a broad topic and really prepares folks, on a range of issues and at a range of making a difference. Thank you. All right, Clayton, tell us about you. And you can even go more like, where are you from, Kendall? We'll really deep dive into you. Pretend it's therapy.
Yeah, so I have been, I'll start first with kind of my history with the Department on Aging. I have been with the Department on Aging for in an official capacity as a staff member for the last 6 months, but I've been connected with the department for the last 3 years. I started as a social work intern when I was getting my bachelor's of social work at NC State. It was probably about this time 3 years ago that I first got connected with Kendall here at the department about completing my summer field practicum for my bachelor's program. And I pretty much knew I wanted to work with older adults coming into this practicum. And once I was into it and doing the work over the summer, you know, day in, day out, it really affirmed for me that this is the work I want to do. And this organization is also working in a capacity that I really enjoyed. I really love the kind of one-stop shop approach that we have at the department, getting able to do a lot of different types of work and interacting with, you know, such a diverse client population is such a rewarding experience for me. So that's kind of how my initial thing I got connected with the department. But overall, my kind of history with social work has really, looking back on it, been a work in my life for really over the past decade. I am somebody that spent a lot of time growing up with my grandparents. So I was always kind of consistently around older adults through their friends, through being involved with different faith organizations growing up, and kind of always kind of gravitated towards that population and enjoyed interacting with them in some capacity. I knew kind of coming out of high school and looking towards college that I did kind of want to go into some type of helping profession. I had initially considered medicine of some type of, and for one brief instance had considered optometry, working as an eye doctor, and then very quickly decided, you know what, this is not the capacity that I want to pursue, and came into learning more about specifically the field of social work. And as kind of Kendall mentioned earlier, the kind of variety that is available for people that choose that profession, there yet. Yeah, you can go down that clinical route. You can work, you know, specifically in healthcare settings. There are so many options that are available. So I knew kind of going into that field that I wanted to work with older adults in some capacity and also wanted to work specifically in that helping profession. And so it really just has been a great opportunity to kind of put all those passions and interests together and now to be able to be doing the work that I'm doing with the department, you know, in the social work field. So I've really enjoyed it so far.
Thank you. And I love that. And you and I, well, a few of us, we saw each other recently at the North Carolina Association on Aging meeting. And I was like, I know you're new, but I feel like I've known you for a while. And it's because I knew you when you were an intern. And so your journey has really, and I love that. Listeners, this is Orange County Department on Aging is such a superstar when it comes to supporting students and giving great academic experiences. And I love that a number of them stay with the county or just talk about what a great experience. And you are a perfect example of the investment that they made in you, and now you're investing in Orange County by staying here. So, yay! All right. Hannah, and I'm making little notes. I'm busy scribbling here because there's a bunch of things. We're going to get back to that one-stop shop idea in a little bit. So I'm telling you what are on my notes so you can help me remember also. But Hannah, tell us about you.
Yes, thank you. So I sort of similar to Clayton, I have been with the Department on Aging for about 5 months now. I think I just hit 5 months. And Clayton and I graduated from NC State in the same class. And so yeah, I've kind of similar to him as well. I grew up around older adults, my grandparents. My mom is a nurse, and so for me it was like, oh, maybe I'll pursue nursing, maybe I'll be I did psych as well as my first degree a long time ago. But I knew I always wanted to work with people and kind of serve people. And I heard from a great social worker a while ago that their philosophy is something about radical hospitality or radical acceptance. And that really kind of resonated with me. And so, yeah, I love people. I love serving people and the community. And so, caregivers have a really special place in my heart as well. I caregived for my grandma, and I watched my mom caregive for her too. She lived till 101. And she aged in place in her home, which was wonderful. So, yeah, caregivers are really special to me, and I love being an elder care social worker.
Oh, I am so excited to have you here. I remember years ago, I worked with a colleague. She actually was on the radio show, Carrie Patrick, because I think we said it on the air. And she said, "I'm going to be a." She used the older term. "I'm going to use it. I'm going to be a geriatric social worker until I'm a geriatric social worker." And I thought that is wonderful.
Yeah, I love that.
I love all of the focus on, I think it keeps coming back to helping, being, and each of you talked about that similarly and in slightly different ways. Clayton wanting to be in the helping profession, Hannah talking about, really being driven to helping. And there's a book that a friend gave me, it's in the other room, about it's like it is about radical hospitality is something, but it's a different title, but just this incredible helping. And then I got to give a shout out to Elon, the art and science of helping. So, and for any of you, I know you're all muted, you have to stay unmuted so any of you can just like jump out. And like, is that how you describe social work? When people, what do people say to you? Hey, like, what is social work? How do you describe it?
Like the idea of thinking of it as an art and science, because I think very frequently people think like, oh, you sit and talk to people all day, you sit and listen to people all day, and yes, that's a huge part of it, but the gears that are turning in your mind as you're going through these conversations and the problem solving with folks, there's a method to it. So I appreciate, but there's also, and I think that's part of, when we talk about what brings us to social work, there's this kind of innate wanting to help. There are some innate skills that folks who are drawn to this field really have. So there is that art piece to it as well.
Other Clayton or Hannah, other ways, like, does this come up for you, especially since you're relatively new? You just got your degrees not too long ago. Are people like, what's that? And what do you learn? How to listen?
Yeah, I think one thing for me that I found is definitely that problem-solving aspect, really highlighting the kind of uniqueness of every client situation. Is that yeah, we may be kind of talking through something together, but the range of I think situations that our clients are in is requires a degree of problem-solving and really kind of creativity, in a sense. So that's one thing I always try and highlight for folks is that, we're working with folks, we may be working in, a one-on-one capacity, but there really is so much variety in terms of the day-to-day and what the work is we're actually doing. And I think that's just something that people kind of don't necessarily realize when they think about social work as a field.
I guess it makes perfect sense it would be problem solving. I generally go into the helping, but here's my great idea. And as social workers, I'll go, oh, that's, you'll just give me some affirmations here. But no, here, so you know what other profession describes themselves? Well, lots of professions do. That's a silly question. But my daughter is in college for engineering. And when and we were at a college tour years ago, and they said engineers are solve problems. And I just had this idea, wouldn't it be interesting if you take engineers who solve problems, and you take social workers who solve problems, sometimes different kinds of problems. I think of more kind of physical, structural, well, we could keep going, problems that like buildings and stuff like that that my daughter's dealing with. But I just had a whole other spin-off show idea. Let's get a bunch of like engineers together and a bunch of social works together, social workers, and say, here's some problems. How would you address this? Oh, that'd be, yeah, okay. Bless my heart there for, okay. Sorry, but I
You're an
love,
engineer,
because I haven't seen
so
that
we do
before.
this on a regular basis.
Sorry.
I'm married to an engineer, so we do this on a regular basis. And the amount of people I knew in school who had partners that were engineers, there is something very similar, but also different and kind of complementary about the way that you solve those different types of problems. There's the kind of very technical, analytical problems, and then the more.
Psychosocial, I don't.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that I did not realize that. And so look, listeners, I'm learning something new, but Clayton, thank you for bringing this concept of problem solving. It makes perfect sense, but I was just thinking about the complementary. Hannah, anything to add about how you talk about social work when friends and family are like, what?
I'm lucky that I come from my mom being a nurse and that kind of understanding of serving people and helping people. But I think sometimes the general public has a misunderstanding of social work, or it gets maybe painted in a bad light of like, oh, you don't get paid a lot then, or oh, you must be so burnt out all the time. And definitely you could be burnt out, but there's so much joy in kind of connecting with people human to human, one on one. And so that's how I love to kind of describe it. But also I am very problem solve minded too, like puzzle minded and in that kind of way. And we base our stuff on evidence-based practice. So it there is that science to it.
Well, and we will. I'm going to ask you my question then in just a second. But my tangent or related, I ask you about what social work is, and it just hit me because I have been in situations because I used to work with social work of having to say what it isn't, because I worked at an organization where the social workers became the catch-all of anything someone else didn't want to do. And so we'll talk more about that offline. But it was a really interesting dynamic because social work is so broad, and because you are helpful, and because you are problem solvers, I have seen some interesting dynamics in organizations. I don't know how it would happen on an interdisciplinary team. Interdisciplinary teams generally, I think, really appreciate the discipline of social work. But it was a broader group that was like, oh, we'll have the social worker take them shopping, have the social worker, and it was like that, that's sure. I mean, we all want to be helpful, but it was a really interesting issue that now I'm thinking about, kind of when you work in a boundaryless world, like how do you create some boundaries? And it'd be interesting. I'm sure everything they have you do at the Orange County Department on Aging is completely within your scope. But anyway, so speaking of the science, I am going to ask you my question. So about 2 hours ago, I was doing a continuing ed for I have a case management certification licensure that a lot of social workers and nurses also have, even though I'm public health. And it was all about motivational interviewing and motivational interview techniques. And I was wondering if I was going to ask this question, but I am going to ask it because Kendall, you started it with the art and science, and then Hannah, you were just talking about the science and sort of the skill sets. And so not to get overly academic, but there are theoretical and there are approaches. And so do you describe your work, especially your work with the Orange County Department on Aging, any like on a theoretical model or the types of work you do? Because I just got this training quick, but just it's a very, as you said, Kendall, there's stuff going through your mind. It is a very thoughtful, skilled process.
It's interesting you should bring up motivational interviewing because I had one of our other colleagues was writing an article for a blog post for another organization they're a part of, and they asked me to take a look at it. And a lot of it was about motivational interviewing. I thought, oh, okay, it's been a while since I've looked at that textbook. But as I was reading it, and she outlined all the different steps and all the different stages of change, all these different things, I said, oh yeah, well that's how I would do that conversation. But the it's so funny how quickly it becomes very innate. Like, this is just how we solve this problem. This is how we talk this person through it. So yeah, it is, there's definitely a method to what you're seeing. And I think it's interesting and I know they have you do this in school a lot, is to observe these conversations and these sessions that social workers have and identify, what pieces they're pulling out of there. But it doesn't, I think, to the outside eye, it wouldn't look like that.
Just thinks good, good question asking. I definitely talk too much on the show, but this issue of closed versus open questions, as opposed to any question that can be answered like yes, no, that's a closed question, but I do a ton of, and you'll hear me do it, like, tell me about this. That's an open. And I realize I'm like, oh, that's one of those techniques. Are there other, are there other things that you use to help guide your practice?
I think something I kind of rely on a lot is sort of one of the tenets of like cognitive behavioral therapy, which is like helping folks maybe reshape a thought or kind of reframe a negative thought or something that's kind of taking them down a different path, and kind of helping them, sort of empowering them to kind of lift themselves up in a way.
Clayton, anything you wanted to add as I got it? I'm respectful to us, but as I say, as we geek out into the science of social work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that comes to my mind first when thinking about this is definitely what Kendall was speaking to, thinking about the kind of motivational interview aspect. And kind of when I am doing that, I also kind of like to use the biopsychosocial model approach, which is kind of looking at the situation from each of those aspects of biological, psychological, social. And so when, talking with a client about, a situation or, an issue that they might be facing is, looking at it from every particular angle is, what have we tried in the past that has worked before, that might have not worked before, really trying to look at it from all the angles so that we can have a better picture of how to address it or, what's working, what's not working, and really be able to move forward.
So as we think, there's so many other, I am so into this now. My degree's in health behavior, and so biopsychosocial and the motive. And I was like, oh, so I still want to dive into that more. But you know what? I feel like since we've done a general, like, what is social work and what are the motivations? I want to turn now to what is social work and what is the support and the art and science of helping at the Orange County Department on Aging. So how do you talk about the way that the Orange County Department on Aging in particular, or social workers in general help in the aging journey?
So I think it's a lot of, looking at that kind of painting the picture of that biopsychosocial model of, what is someone's situation right now, their health journey. Maybe they have some type of a diagnosis that that is new in this aging journey, or maybe it's something they've lived with their whole life but has progressed. So we're looking at, the health impacts and how that's going to impact their aging journey. We're looking at their social supports, and making sure that they have a social network because we know that is such an important part of aging well. And then we're looking at the environment as well. And that's a place where we pull in our occupational therapists for that interdisciplinary piece as well. But we definitely get into some pieces of the environment with, their housing situation. Are they living independently? Do they want to live somewhere with more supports? And then we look at the physical aspects of the home as well. And also just the environment can be so much more than the physical environment, but all the other, resources and things that are around them. I kind of touch on the main pieces there, Hannah and Clayton. Are there other things that we can get more specific into, like the different programs and things? But that's
Yeah,
kind
I
of.
mean, I think we definitely get more specific with programs, but I think one thing with that I really think is important to highlight is we are kind of acting as, I guess, kind of the knowledge sources for our clients and kind of being the focal points. But ultimately, we are really focused on the right to self-determination and the goals of the individual. If their, goal is to age in place and remain at home or, move somewhere and get different types of supports, our goal is to help them make that decision and have the knowledge and the supports to be able to make that themselves.
I love that. And I love the distinction, even though they're connected, about being the knowledge sources because there's lots of information that I'm sure you're always sharing. And I, again, there's a lot of overlap in the world that I'm in as well. So you're both that, you're providing information and resources, but also that supporters, those helpers around self-determination, about helping people be their own advocates and processing whatever they may be going through. So again, this the complexity or the interplay, as I like to call it, of both sharing information as well as just creating space for them to process. Sorry, that term just got a little bit messed up with the movie Wicked, but it is that issue of creating space. Hannah, did you want to add anything about the more general services? Because then I do want to get a little bit specific.
Yeah, I think they kind of hit on all those aspects of it just in a general sense. And Clayton, I love that you brought up that we are there to kind of empower anyone who walks in and needs our services, because as social workers, we might have that urge to kind of problem solve everything and anything right away and have a solution. And I've talked to Kendall about this several times, and I'm sure I will continue to, but just wanting to have an immediate solution, but recognizing you don't always have the right answer at your fingertips right away, but working together to kind of help the client along.
And I'll send you the link to the free CE for the next 2 days of motivational interviewing, because it just went through as part of, like, one of the slides was about, it's not about you or us having the answers and just telling people what to do. Like, that's one of the quickest way to have people not do something. It's more working with their own motivations and their own where they are in the change process. And so sometimes I would think it's really hard if the resources don't exist, but I would think it'd be equally as hard if the resources exist, but people for some reason or the other aren't comfortable moving forward with those resources. So, Clayton, you use the term, I think you were the first one to use one-stop shop. How do you describe, we have very eclectic listeners of the Aging Well Together show. Some are outside of Orange County, and so it's good that we are talking about in general what social workers do and how they listeners find your Department on Aging's, or it might be called Council on Aging, or your senior centers, or other folks that really specialize in aging support. But specifically for those listeners that are in Orange County, how do you describe the Orange County Department on Aging as being a one-stop shop?
That is a really good question, and I think kind of in you highlighting each of the different names of the Department on Aging or Council on Aging, that really kind of highlights how we kind of are poised to be a one-stop shop, is that we are a local government entity on the same level of like of the Department of Social Services. Of course, we have Keisha, our shared social worker. But that is where kind of we are poised to be that one-stop shop of having the resources centered in one focal point. Whereas other entities, for example, like if a Council on Aging is set up to be kind of a 501c3 nonprofit, there may be a little bit more scattering in terms of where those resources are located throughout the community. Whereas here with us in the Department on Aging, we get to kind of center those supports and resources either in one physical place or ultimately within one department. So for example, as we mentioned earlier, kind of that interdisciplinary aspect of our occupational therapist, Marie, that we have on staff, we're able to house those support services within us, as well as the other volunteer and safety net services that we offer as well, like our commodity food support program or our telephone reassurance check-in program. So those are just kind of a couple examples of how ultimately those are resources that folks can just come to us for and get connected from one specific point rather than having to connect with two or three different organizations for each of those individual services.
So if I'm, well, so I am, and let's say I'm a 54-year-old woman, which I am, and my 80-year-old parents moved to the community, which they did. So how would you say, hey, these are some things that you may want to consider, and any of you can answer. These are some things to think about when you're new to our community or any community that has these kind of services. Here are some things that you should be aware of that exist to support you. Who wants to Kendall, do you want to jump in on that?
I can, yeah. So, moving to the county or to, you know, any community is definitely something we talk about a lot. We get folks, which is part of why this aging population is growing, is because the word has gotten out that it's a lovely place to age. So they're looking for, you know, what are the resources and how do I find them? And so again, that's the benefit of us all being in one place, or at least very well connected and close by. And so we'd look at, you know, well, what supports, what resources did you have where you lived, and how can we get those transferred? So maybe they, you know, were connected to some social services programs. They had Medicaid, they had SNAP benefits. So that's where having our two social services staff is beneficial to help get those things transferred. We talk about transferring their switching their Medicare plan, because those plans vary from zip code to zip code. But then we also look at, you know, what was the motivation to move here? Was it to have, you know, more social support? Was it to be near family? And how can we, you know, facilitate those connections and make sure you're getting what you wanted out of this move as much as possible? We also have, this is one piece of our one-stop shop we haven't talked about yet, is our transportation specialist. So we help folks get connected with public transportation and planning for retiring for driving, which I know I'm sure Brandy's been on at some point, so we'll have to refer
We
back to
have
her.
a second show, and then I was just looking yesterday. We need to have we were supposed to have a driving specific show, and it had to get rescheduled, and I realized we never put that back on. So I need to talk with Brandy and Marie to come back on for that.
Yes. But yes, there's social supports, you know, getting connected to doctors in the area, and just getting involved in their community, because anyone who's ever moved before knows that it's tricky to build those new connections and kind of find your way around. But it's even trickier when we're retired, and you know, we don't have a work that we go to every single day, and we can talk to coworkers about, you know, oh, where do you go to shop? Where do you go to spend time with people? And now, you know, we're retired, we don't necessarily have that place we go to meet people every day. So finding a way to build those connections, I think, is huge.
I love that. Hannah, anything that when you talk with older adults in the community or adult children like me that have family members, they're like, "Hey, you should probably come by the senior centers or the and I use it interchangeably, listeners. Orange County Department on Aging has two senior centers, right? One in Chapel Hill, one in Hillsborough, the Passmore Center in Hillsborough and the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill, and so that's where your offices are, but what do you do a shout out like, "Hey, did you realize you can get this?"
I've had somebody call me the other day, and I kind of recommended flipping through the endless possibilities and kind of having a conversation with their parent of like, what are they interested in? Kind of getting a reminder, a refresher about what hobbies do they enjoy? What kind of social groups would they like to join? Because groups and it's just a fun place to be. So, you know, that's a great way to build community too, if you're new to the area.
Great, great. It froze just for a second, but we got that. And I'm so glad you did a shout out to the Endless Possibilities catalog, as I call it, the booklet. I don't even know. It's like it's so thick. What is it? How do you call it? A magazine? I've had Latanya come on just to like read it. It's just so much there. And people can get access to it online, correct?
Yes.
Yep,
Yep. We
that's
do the
true.
PDF version on the website every quarter.
And it really does list it out by interest area and all. It's amazing. And I will share it since it is the 5-year anniversary, a little bit of the beginning of the pandemic. And as since I mentioned my mother was one of your participants. And probably on this day, 5 years ago, about a week to 2 weeks after everything started, was needing to close down, we got a call. We got a check-in. Hey, just want to see how are you? How are you with food? How are you with support? Do you want us to call every day? How can we support you during this time? And by that point, I was with her all the time, and I was like, "It's okay, I have it." But I really saw that. You know, they just knew here. They didn't know much. They just knew here's a 80-year-old woman that may be struggling out in the community in the beginning of this pandemic. So So one of the team called, and her last social activity before the pandemic, and my mother passed away during the pandemic, was coming to the senior center and doing an exercise class and then getting lunch. And then she loved to listen to the programs, and there are great movies. And our big debate was, do I bring her back for the movie the next day? But we were just starting to hear that people should probably stay home. And it was, I can't remember what the movie is, but. So you have all kinds of wonderful programs going on. I am curious because we've got a little bit of time left as social workers and as the receivers of questions, what are the typical questions that you tend to receive either from, and tell me, is it from older adults themselves or is it people like me who are caregivers who are needing information? So we can sort of do a roundabout of the types of information and questions you get. Clayton, do you want to start?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great question because I feel like Kendall and Hannah would perhaps echo this, is that there really is a variety, a really a spectrum of questions that folks can ask. I would say in my experience, probably the two that I've experienced most common are in regards to housing. Firstly and foremost, just finding with different housing options that are available within the county, and kind of what what that is, and then the second one would be caregiving, and caregiving support, specifically, usually folks seeking in-home support or assistance.
Hannah, how about you? Obviously,
Yeah,
you had
I
to go
echo.
on the ditto.
For sure. I echo what Clayton is saying. And we, with our helpline, we get calls about all sorts of different things. And so I definitely get those, we get those calls about housing, legal questions, about wills and maybe advanced care planning. And definitely durable medical equipment. We get questions a lot about that on our helpline. So those are some of the most prevalent questions.
And two things. How would you, just for our listeners who may not be know the term durable medical equipment, how do you describe that for folks? Like, what are they calling specifically and asking for?
So we do the smaller sort of stuff. We don't do the large stuff like a hospital bed or things like that, but we do wheelchairs or bedside commodes, walkers, things like that.
And the other thing, and I meant to ask this before, so I'm so glad you brought it up, the aging helpline. We mentioned it quickly, but could you describe what the aging helpline is and then the number? Because I mentioned in the beginning, because I gave a telephone number and I said, this isn't the aging helpline. So tell us what the aging helpline is.
So the aging helpline is our information and referral line for the entire county. It's a service that in theory is available in every county across the country from the Older Americans Act. It's a federally mandated service that we offer, and it is answered every day, and it's meant to be just that, anything related to aging help. And we expand that really to caregiving as well. And we get anything from, how do I find some in-home assistance, or I'm needing a walker, to how do I get groundhogs out of my yard, or how do I find a plumber? So there are certain days where I do feel like I'm professionally Googling, but then there's other times where, we have someone who their parent just got a new diagnosis of dementia or Parkinson's, and they're just trying to figure out what supports are out there and what they might be needing. And it turns into, an hour-long conversation of navigating all the different resources and needs that they may have. So it's a little bit of everything, which we're it's a great first stop for people to get connected to us, because it's the three of us and really the rest of our team who answer, and we all have some base level knowledge of everything that we offer. If it's something very specific to caregiver support, then we'll get a lot of information and then have Hannah follow up with them. If it's something related to home safety, then we'll get some more information and have Marie, our occupational therapist, follow up and those types of things. But it at least gets people a really solid first interaction with us. And very often, one of the things I hear the most is just that, oh, yay, a person, because sometimes by the time people get to us, they have, called their doctor's office, their insurance company, all these different groups, and usually they go through the press one for this, press two for this, and they're on hold for a little bit. So the fact that they got a person on the phone, or even a voicemail that calls them back the same day or the next day is still better than what they've been getting from some other places. And the number
I was
is.
gonna say, and the number drum. Oh, I don't have my musical thing. Oh,
Yes.
wait.
Give people a minute to get their pens.
For Alicia, as I fall over, Alicia will love this if she's listening. Did you know this? Okay, here we go. And the number. Did you hear that?
I
That.
did not. No, it
Oh,
didn't.
that was our drum roll thing. It was like.
Oh, it's a little drum roll.
Yeah, we like to do it. It's become a big thing the last like seven shows in the studio. Alicia, we got a thing. But okay, and the number for the aging
It's
helpline.
it is 919-968-2087. And there's also an email address, if that's easier for anyone, which is agingtransitions@orangecountync.gov.
I did not know that. So aging transitions at orangecountync.gov. You have a nice long email too. And the telephone number again, 919-968-2087. Did I do right for
You
the aging
got
line? I have that programmed into my phone as aging. And it is great. And you get to be Clayton, I think you use that term, that knowledge sources and have a real person answer or call you back. What are the hours of like is I know it's not 24 hours.
Not quite. We answer Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And are there costs for the services helpline? I would not think so, but when people are getting support, are there costs for any of these services? All right, you're all shaking your head, but we're on the
No,
radio. This is so cute.
no,
Listeners,
yes,
they
just
all
no.
just shook their head. No, I'm like, no, they have to hear you.
No cost for anything that we offer.
I some of these questions are like feeder questions because I know the answer, but I wanted to share. What I do wonder, and I've asked this before, is the difference between those people that need some short-term information assistance, maybe some short-term counseling, versus you are all trained counselors versus those people who want like longer term social work support. Because you do see social workers that are also in the more therapeutic ongoing. How do you support that, or where's the line there?
So during the pandemic, actually, at the time, there were three of us who were all working on our clinical licensure. And we saw during the pandemic that there was a need for mental health support. And so we started a short-term counseling program. So Hannah and I are both clinically licensed and do some short-term counseling with folks. Typically, we limit it to around 10 sessions, and we're trying to get at folks who, yeah, have that more short-term need, or maybe just need to kind of bridge the gap between, where they are now and, a therapist who has a 2-month waiting list or something like that. But once someone's needing more of that long-term ongoing support, then we work with them on getting connected with therapists or with care managers as well. A lot of times that's the type of social work support they're needing is that more intensive care management.
You know, that's, well, you do know that. That's super helpful. When I will tell you that short-term support and counseling, I thought it was like 3 or 4 sessions. The fact that it's 10 sessions, I mean, back in the day when I was in a corporate the employee assistance programs where you could get it stopped at 6 sessions. So that's very generous. Thank you, taxpayer dollars and support of Orange. And that's what I tell people when they're wondering. I'm like, this is your taxpayer money at work. Like, use their support. Just like go to the senior center and get a meal and do, have a great social engaging or use the wellness programs, exercise. But so that actually is that's pretty intensive. So that's great. Any other issues that are like, I love the I don't love that we have these issues, but that kind of saying that a lot of housing options come out, a lot of caregiving, other topics that in-home supports, anything else that you want to share? Because we have about 5 minutes left, and I want to make sure you can share all the different topics or issues that you see come up.
I'll say that we do some stuff with Medicare and we partner with SHIP, so we do get questions about Medicare sometimes. So we have SHIP counselors that come to either the Seymour Center or Passmore, and we can connect folks with them.
And that's the Senior Health Insurance Information Program. Yeah, and we did a whole radio show on that. Yeah, that was pretty good. I just pulled that up. Okay, that's
Oh,
great.
good.
Clayton, I think you were about to say something also.
Yeah, in a similar vein, I was gonna always pr try to promote our volunteer income tax assistance program, which is currently active right
Yes, I'm
now.
sure it is. My
It
goodness.
is VITA. So again, similar to SHIP and Medicare, we have volunteers that are able to help folks complete their income taxes. So at both the Seymour and Passmore centers in Chapel Hill and Hillsboro, folks can make appointments and get help get their taxes done.
There's so many good things. Kendall, anything you wanted to, I mean, I'm sure every day is a completely different day.
Every day is a little bit different. I think caregiving and housing are probably the two big ones that I hear about as well. We hear the occasional food support, and just kind of general financial support for things like and this is kind of similar to just housing in general, but home repairs. So we're very lucky, and I believe they've been on the program as well, the Home Preservation Coalition. We have a lot of different groups that are working on preserving housing, including us and our Handy Helpers program. So I think that's a big one as well. As we get into the summer, we'll have questions around air conditioning and fans and staying cool. So there's always any human need. Even things like mental health support, substance use support, any human need. I often say that older adults have the same needs as younger adults, and sometimes as children. We don't stop needing food, we don't stop needing support just because we're aging. So there's always something a little bit different.
Oh, I love that, human needs. And it really is. The list goes on and on. When you just reminded me of the fans, I remember when it was super hot and you all were like, hey, we have a bunch of fans. So anyone in Orange County that needs it to keep cool. So we'll do a little bit of a lightning round with our 2 or so minutes left. While you're busy helping others, I do care about each of you. And this work can be a little traumatic. It can be a little intense. So how, if you don't mind sharing, how do you stay positive and supportive? So if you want to do a helping the helpers, what does kind of bring you joy or at least help you after a long day? Because I imagine you see some pretty intense things and intense emotions. So Clayton, I'll go to you. We'll kind of go around.
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind for me, really coming back to it, is our client interactions. Just even, I think sometimes we can get bogged down in the maybe the day to day of working with folks, but having client interactions are just so rewarding. And like Kendall said, being able to just say, "Hey, like it's been so nice to talk to a person and get, an answer of, from my perspective, it maybe took 5 minutes to find this piece of information, but to have, somebody just say like, oh, that this is the piece of information that really is going to make a difference for me in my day, in my life." That is what is just so rewarding for me and helps like remind me of like, oh yeah, this is why I got into this work, is to be able to, work with people and help them meet and achieve their goals, whatever that may be.
I can't stop smiling because I get that. Thank you. Hannah, what helps you cope?
For sure. Yeah. I think it is important to remember that social workers or therapists or counselors, we need mental health support too. And we need our own counseling. And even just coming home and being able to talk with friends or family and just kind of let out my feelings. And I have two cats and I love cuddling with my cats. But also being outside, I'm so glad the weather's warming up. I'm a nature girl. I love to go outside. So anytime I get to go to like the botanical gardens or something like that, I love that.
Right, Kendall, close us. What gives you kind of calm after the intensity?
Absolutely. I will echo both Clayton and Hannah of, the interactions with clients. I have a folder on my computer of positive interactions where I can have a tangible memory of having made a difference with someone that I can go back to when we have so much of this kind of unknown. And not, because oftentimes we have people call us and, we don't know what happens after we talk with them. So having some of those moments of well-rounded interactions is helpful. Also exercising, bike riding, being outside. And then I love cooking and baking. I don't know if anyone has seen the movie Julie and Julia, but there's a scene where she comes home after a hard day at work and she's making a pie and she says, "I love that at the end of the day, when nothing is going right and turning out the way I want it to, I can put eggs and flour and whatever it is that she's putting together, and it will make this pie." So it's kind of going back to that science piece of, if I do these steps, what I want to happen should happen. Versus in social work, there's so much unknown and so much ambiguity that we're dealing with every day.
Oh my goodness, I love that. And before we get cut off, since this is a recording, I cannot thank you enough. The social work team with the Orange County Department on Aging, Aging Transitions, Clayton Foster, Hannah Broom, Kendall McMillan, really, thank you for everything you do for our community. And the older adults in our community, but also moving the whole field forward. And so for all social workers out there, thank you so much. Thank you so much to WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill Carrboro for hosting our show. Thank you to the broader Orange County Department on Aging for sponsoring our show. And listeners, we look forward to coming back with you soon. Everyone, take care. Thanks.